look.
I need to fix the mic so I don't sound so bad.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, I think my husband is going to say, AJ, wait until we get up here testimony service and say, God, get a message. I'm sitting there about a message at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm like, well, eventually, you know, 5-6 ministers, one of them will respond.
Amen.
So I'm waiting. I come to church. I still don't get nothing. I'm in the Lord's meeting. Service say God gave you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Truly, just that. Actually, y'all know what this is because I don't feel bad, but I sound bad. Do I sound bad?
Help. You're all right.
All right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Y'all going to fake me out so you sound all right?
Sing. Sing out. Sing.
Amen. Nevertheless, truly, I feel all right, so I'm going to do what I can. Minister AJ, if I'm basketball, then I'll let your message, you can take care of your message. But actually, in all honesty, we've heard so much through the testimonies, amen, of how good God has been. And you know, I was telling them in our board meeting today, the devil is trying to steal a lot of our joy. The devil is trying to steal so many great things that God has done for us. Amen. The song comes to my mind that without God, I can. I said, without God, I can do
nothing.
Without Him, I would fail. Without God, my life would be worth it. I'd be like a ship without a sail. The songwriter said, I came to Jesus as I was. Warm, bitter, and all the other stuff. But the most important thing today is that I fell in Him. A resting place. And I'm so glad that He has made me glad. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. I guess I'm going to be short so I don't lose my whole voice. And I guess that'll negate Sister Mackie always saying I'm long-winded. Amen. She used to say I'm long-winded, so you know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression, right?
Right.
She said I was way in the beginning, but you don't forget. Amen. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to have our scripture reading. Master, they'll never tell you that, right? I know, they always brown nose in the house. No, I'm not kidding. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 15. Amen. Hallelujah. I take that back. I got to be like, this guy on nose, rewind. Got to rewind. You know, we got to relax. You know what? We come to church. People too uptight all the time. You come to church with the weight of the world on your shoulder. Don't want to let go and thank God. Amen. It's time to relax. I said it's time to relax in Jesus. Amen. Sister Penny came to church, she was shouting all over the place.
Yes.
Now, he never hang around y'all too much.
Amen.
We don't want to lose her shout. Amen. That's a joke too, but let's go to the Word. Amen. We're going to start off, I think, verse 15. Today, remember the most important thing, as I heard the testimony of baby Zoe and our brother Jim's mom. Without God, we can do nothing. And, you know, I've heard it and I've learned it since I was a child. I try to figure out how the people in the world make it without God. How do they do it? We're going to read verses 15 to verse 18. Then we'll skip down to verse 22 to the end.
Verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery,
and dulcet,
all kinds of music, Yet all fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of the hand?
And hold on, he said, you're going to be cast into that furnace. And he asked a question. Who is
that God?
Can we say that God?
That God.
Come on, say it like you really believe it. Who is that God that shall deliver you?
Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that I will not serve thee, God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fervor. Oh, sorry about that. Therefore, because the king's commandments were urgent,
and the furnace exceeding
hot, and the flames of the fire slew those men
that took us
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down
bound into the midst of the burning furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar,
king, was astonished,
and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselor,
did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Wait, he said, lo, I see what?
Four
men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no word, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had, saw these men upon whom the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor a spell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, Nebuchadnezzar began to ask them a question, and it's a question that many, this AJ, you gotta read that stuff in advance. That's all right. You get into all that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Dusters, and like, whoa, what happened? He tried to figure out if they had been reading about all these plays and what's the thing, wrote all that, thousands and dithers, it's confusing. So that's all right. But I read them a few times, so I got it on. But Nebuchadnezzar asked him a question because they made us stand for God. And you know, there's a question that the adversary likes to taunt many of us in our minds because he knows he has no power. He asks him, who's that God? Who's that God that can deliver out of my hand? Hallelujah. And as throughout the course of their testimony, when you make a testimony, you make a stand for God, you can be guaranteed you're going to be challenged.
That's right.
Amen. I said, I believe somebody said, well, in the church, after you get saved, there's all peaches and cream, and you don't have to go from anything. Amen. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king, he said, well, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we don't have to think twice about the God that we serve. I don't question whether God can do it or whether he cannot do it. They said, we don't have to think twice if our God that we serve chooses to deliver us, he can. And if he chooses not to deliver us in the flesh, they will say in the spirit, he's going to deliver us anyway. But he said, but we will not fall down and serve your God. How many of us today are cowering down and serving because we're just a little afraid? Amen. Afraid of the king's commandments. Afraid to make a stand for God. Somebody said, well, in the church, when you get saved, it'll be all right. But God did not save them from the fire. God saved them in the fire. I said God did not save them from the fire, but God saved them in the fire. Hallelujah. No wonder the psalmist said that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he shall deliver them. So God let them go through some stuff.
Yeah.
But it said, Nebuchadnezzar said, now before they got in the fire, he had his mightiest men bind them and throw them in the fire. And the fire destroyed them or killed them. Amen. So because they didn't have God and they approached the fire, they had no protection. That's why I'm confused as to how people can live without God. Uh-huh. So the mighty men threw them in and God burned them and killed them.
Yeah.
But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the midst of the burning fiery furnace and everybody was waiting to see them expire. Brothers and sisters, the devil has made a lot of challenges and a lot of threats in our lives. He's waiting to see us expire. But then Nebuchadnezzar stood up in bewilderment. Amen. When the world watches us, they can't understand how you're able to take what you take. Hallelujah. The world look at us and we're in the fire, but I did not lose my joy. When the world see us and we're in the fire and we did not lose our praise. So as Nebuchadnezzar looked at them in the fire, expecting to see them burn up, he looked in bewilderment. You see, when we go through the trials, we can go in bound. The devil thinks he has us wrapped up. The devil thinks he has us tied down. But Nebuchadnezzar, in his bewilderment, knows that we're not tied up. In the midst of the fire, God has sent them. Even in the midst of your troubles, God will set you free. going to bring those things and have them bow before the fire. But God said, I want to show you what I can do. Amen. So God said, when they were in the fire, God loosed them.
Yes.
Amen. Wherever you're going through today, start praising God in the midst of it. And God will loose you. Amen. Our problem that we have this afternoon, we don't have a true conviction about serving God. We have a purpose like Paul, that for God I live, and it is necessary for God I die. Amen. We want everything to be easy. We want to go to heaven on a bed of ease. Amen. But I thank God this afternoon that I've tasted and I've seen that my God is good. Because when he looked into the furnace, here was another individual in the fire. That's why you got to have God in your life.
Right.
Through your hard times, somebody said, baby's always in the hospital with the nurses and the doctors. I believe there's somebody else.
Yes.
I said, yes. I believe there's somebody else that's walking around the world. But in the hospital room, somebody else was walking around. I'm telling you, whatever you do, whatever happens in your life, keep God involved. Amen. Because he can go where nobody else can go. There wasn't another man, there wasn't another individual that could go in that fiery furnace with the check, let me check in the building room. But God.
Right.
Hallelujah. And as you know, if we look at a lot of our lives, there's a lot of woes. Woe, woe, woe. Amen. But when you got God involved, he'll go where you go. Amen. God would never send you where he will not go with you. So in the midst of the trial, keep God. He will go with you. Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four men walking around. Hallelujah. He said, but they close. This is how God keeps you. Somebody said, I don't have a job, I don't have money, I don't have food. He said, but their clothes were not burned. Amen. Their hat was still not burned. And God said, I'm such a detailed God that not even the hair on their head was singed, because that's the kind of God that I am. Significant things as well, because there is no God that can deliver after this soul.
Right.
Amen. Let's go to St. John chapter 6. I'm about finished. Hey, I see my grandson. Are you actually talking? Okay, everything. Amen. I'm about finished, but what I'm trying to say is this, and we live in a day and age. Everybody is confiding and trusting in everything but God.
Right.
I was doing a study in the book of Habakkuk, and this was when the children of Israel was being stubborn and refused to yield to God. Go to St. John chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 16. They refused to yield to God, and they were doing their own thing, and then Habakkuk, he was troubled. Habakkuk couldn't understand, and he said, God, you are purer eyes than to behold wickedness reigning over good. He said, God, you're too righteous to let wicked people reign over your children. He said, God, I know you're guarding, you know what you're doing. He said, but I'm in a place of confusion because I don't understand. Amen. He said, now, God, I know you have an answer. So he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch, or upon my tower, to wait to see how you're going to answer me. Amen. Habakkuk was telling God, God, the whole situation is confusing. When I look at everything that's happening, I'm perplexed. I'm troubled. But God sent Habakkuk this answer. He said, write the vision. You may not understand. You may be confused. You may be troubled. He said, but write the vision, and most of all, make it plain, so that he that readeth it may run. But then he finishes up the chapter with this thought. He said, woe unto them that speaks to the wood and tell them to awake. He said, woe unto them that speak to the dumb stone and tell it to rise up and teach. In other words, God was saying, you're putting your confidence in the wrong thing. Amen. He said, my people are putting more confidence in idols that have no breath or have no life. They're trusting in these dumb idols. He said, but the God that we serve, he's in his holy temple. Hallelujah. Thank God this afternoon. Whatever you're going through, we can lift our eyes up to the holy hills from which comes our help, because our God is in the temple. Amen. Verse 60 reads, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. When it comes to the living for God, when your mind is not on the spiritual parts, amen, when your life is caught up in the carnal and the natural things, when your life is caught up in the wood and the dumb stones, when your life is caught up in things that say they're God, but they have no life, when they're caught up in things that say they will make a way, but they can't even deliver themselves. Amen. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. He was talking about a spiritual change. He was talking about a spiritual revelation. But they said, this is a hard sin. Amen. Somebody said, it's too hard to live saved today. It's too much of a challenge to live saved today. You just don't know. Well, this is what they were experiencing, even in the face of God. Verse 61 read, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this, hallelujah. I've been running for Jesus a long time. I've been living for the Lord a long time. I've been up many hills, I've been down many valleys. I've had my ups and I had my downs, but I still know that God is faithful. I still know that God is good. He said, don't this offend you? Because you got to go through a little trouble. Because you got a little hardship. Because you're taking your eyes off of the spiritual things in God. And you're looking at the natural things. He said, are you offended? Then drop down to verse 66. Now, are you offended? How many of us today are offended? It's too hard to do what God wants me to do. Amen. It's hard for me to do this. Verse 66 read, from that time, because they didn't have a determined spirit, because God's word never got down on the inside, because they were like the seed that either fell by the wayside, that fell among stones, or that fell among thorns, that seed found no root. And because it had no root in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the test, they went back. So he says, from that time, many of his disciples went back, and sad to say. I said it's sad to say. Because of hardships, they won't no more with the Lord. Verse 67 said, then said Jesus unto the 12. He asked them a question. And it's a question that I'm going to ask us this afternoon. It's hard. You don't understand what I'm going through. Nobody has experienced the troubles that I've had. It's been so hard. He asked him a question, will ye go? Can we say that together? Will ye go? There are a whole lot of times they say, tell your neighbor, but salvation is too important. amen. Paul tells them, work out your own salvation. Amen. So I want you to try to encourage somebody else and you wind up lost. So I want you to ask yourself, say it again, will ye? Will ye? Amen. What in Christ is too hard? What test is too big? What trial is too hard for you to turn, for you to go on? Amen. Are you going to turn your back because you're going through a little test and don't walk no more with the Lord? Too many people have turned their back on God because God permitted them to go through a test to see what was in their hearts. Amen. Many times we get confused. We don't understand the direction or the road that God takes us. And because we get confused and don't understand, amen, we think God is angry at us. Or we think that God has forsaken or turned his back on us. And because we don't understand, we start drifting away from God. Right. Amen. The songwriter said, we without God, we are like a what? Ship. Without a. Well, as I said on Friday, I watched these rescue programs. And they were out in the midst of a stormy, raging sea, and they lost their motor. Amen. And when they lost their motor, they began to drift. You say, well, where did they drift? They drifted where the winds of turbulence took them. Amen. When you lose God, you lose your motor. You lose your direction. You lose your focus. You say, well, where do you wind up? You wind up wherever the winds of adversity in your life are blowing you. You have no set place. You cannot be still and know that he's God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because we lose God. We lose direction. When we lose that direction, amen, we can send out all the maydays and help we want, but they can't find us because we're drifting. Amen. Every time you turn your back on God, every time you leave God out of your trial, that trial is taken. And it's taken. And Timothy said, we have to help those that oppose themselves. This afternoon, many are in a terrible spiritual condition because they are opposing themselves. The Spirit of God is down in us trying to direct our path, but we keep fighting. We refuse to yield. We refuse to submit because we say it's too hard. We said it's too hard. Jesus asked them, will ye also go away? My question this afternoon is, what can separate us from the love of God? Hallelujah. What can separate us? And this one in my message, but I'm going to go to it in a second. What's separating you this afternoon from the love of God? What in your life, what trial, what test is driving the wedge between you and the Savior? What is happening in your life that makes you question God? Let's go to the next verse, and then we go to Romans 8. Then Simon Peter asked him and said, Lord, this afternoon, where are you going to go?
Right.
Who are you going to run to? Simon said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to run to? It's hard, yes. Amen. But the Bible said we shall endure hardness as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's difficult, yes, but through every difficulty, God is there with you because he said, come unto me all ye that are in hardships. Come unto me all ye that have hard times. Come unto me all ye that are weighed down and heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. The problem is we fail to recognize the commandments of God. God tells him in the book of Hebrews, come unto me boldly. Amen. Come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. that you may find. And this is the troubling part in church. How can we be going through our worst trial? Amen. How can we be sitting there getting beat up inside out, losing job, losing home, losing peace, losing mind, and in the time of the altar call, we stay in our seats? When the scripture says that we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, why am I going to come to church? Why do I keep coming to church? My life is a mess. It's getting worse. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. So mercy signifies that your life is out of kilter a little bit. Amen. The only reason you need mercy is because something is wrong and you ought to give judgment. So because something is wrong and you ought to give judgment, God said, you deserve judgment. But come boldly to me and I'm going to give you mercy. Oh, we have no reason, no excuse to fall short of God and go away. We ought to come boldly to the throne of grace that we ought to find mercy. And then he said, after I give you some mercy, then I'm going to give you grace to help in a time of need. But mercy signifies we shouldn't be getting judgment. But God said, I'll give you mercy. Then because you came with a broken spirit and a contrary heart, God said, I can't despise you. It's in my word. And I cannot despise my word. So because you come broken. Hallelujah. Just read about David after he committed murder. After he committed adultery. Amen. After David was fleeing from God, fleeing from his own son, trying to kill him. David got to the point, he said, Lord, just remember me. Lord, he said, in judgment, remember mercy. Lord, I failed. Lord, come up short. I deserve death. But remember, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin till my mother conceived me. So Lord, when you look at me, don't look at me as though I'm an outsider. Lord, I passed through the blood. And you told the children of Israel, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Lord, the death angel, God, at your door, God, I see the blood, for I'll pass. Hallelujah. Amen. When we come to the throne of grace, God sees the blood, and though we deserve death, but long before the wages of sin is death, God said, I give you mercy. Romans 8 and close. Hallelujah. I said, this praise team sing a song, there's no God. Can, come on. Now my voice is weak. Can y'all preach with me? Amen. The praise team sing a song, there's what? Young people, hold on, young people, y'all ain't on that now. I want y'all to help me with this. I want all my young people to stand up. Come on, all my young people. This is your children's ministry. Come on, all my young people, stand up. All my young people, come on, Elijah, all young people, stand up. If you're not in college, you're a young person, stand up. Now, when I want you to help me with this. Amen. This is your testimony. This is your conviction. Amen. Now, if I was saying, let's go back to Great Escape, everybody be honest, right? Y'all had a good time at Great Escape, right? What I want you to say is, I want you to shout. My young guys, I know y'all went outside. I don't need y'all. All right, I want y'all to shout, there's no God like our God. When I come to count of three, shout it out for me. One, two, three, shout it. Like you believe it. That was weak. Amen. Yeah. Now you're in the children's ministry. Y'all ain't got food and drink and everything else. So you gotta have some energy. Amen. So I need you to shout it out. Shout out so the people in the street can hear you. Come on, there's no God like our God. Shout it. Alright, come on, my two young guys, shout it. Say shout it. There's no God like my God. Are we? Yeah, shout it. Yeah, that's all right. you know what? There's no God. You be seated. Now, that's y'all showing ministry. When y'all go home, when y'all do y'all summary today, your summary is, there's no God. My God, God. As you go through your week, when you go to school, there's no God. I said, there's no God.
My God,
God. Verse 26 of Romans 8. Read likewise. Amen. God does a whole lot of other things for you. But also, even more so, likewise the Spirit also helped God those things that have been weighing you down. When you get involved with the Spirit, amen, when you stop holding on to yourself, and when you come boldly to the throne of grace and give to God, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our. Well, why do I need God's Spirit? Because the scripture says the Spirit searches the deep things. There's some parts in our lives that we don't yet understand. I don't care how old you are, because Paul said we're going to understand it better by and by. There's some stuff in our life that we don't understand. But the Spirit, seeing down the lines of time, knows what you're going to go through. So you don't know what to pray for because you don't know what's coming. You don't know what to pray for because you don't know the traps that the devil has set for you. That's why when we come to prayer, as you say, you know what, this is time to pray more than we ever prayed. Because the devil has set some traps. Amen. He set some ambushes. He's waiting to take some of us out, and we don't realize it. So we come to church to pray, because as we're praying, the Spirit is helping in front of us. Amen. And then why do we need the Spirit to help us? Now, a lot of us are pretty wise, and we know a whole lot. But it says, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. So he said, well, I pray at home, yeah, but corporate prayer is different. Amen. After the apostles were troubled, threatened and beat, it said when they all got together and began to. Right. And they didn't pray on their own. But when they prayed together, the Bible said there was a shake. All of a sudden, God showed up in the midst. That's why corporate prayer is so important, because that's where God strengthens the saints. Right. Now ask yourself the last time. When was the last time I was in corporate prayer? You know, I said, well, you know, gas prices are high. True. I might live a distance from the church. True. Amen. How many of y'all, your store that you go to is more than a mile or 2 miles away from your house? Minus. Anybody? Now, you ever go to, anybody go to the store more? I know this is being nosy this way. Anybody go to the store more than twice a week? How do you get there? Because that's what? That's natural food. Amen. I got to get the bread. I got to be able to eat. So it might be expensive. But I got to do that, because if I don't get it, I won't live. Jesus said men ought to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth and not by. It's more just as important to come to church to pray as it is to eat that natural food. But this is how the devil ambushes us. This is how he works in our minds and make prayer and church secondary. So it says, but the Spirit. Not a spirit, the Spirit. Making intercession for us with God. When we're praying and we're down on our knees and we're moaning and groaning, that Spirit is reaching out to God with groaning which cannot be uttered. For he that searches the what? As you're praying, the Spirit is searching your hearts. Amen. Searching those faults. Searching those failures, searching those shortcomings. Amen. He's searching the heart. And he that searches the heart knows what is the Spirit of God above. is searching the spirit of God in your heart, because the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the what? Holy Ghost. So that spirit above is searching the spirit in, and then he's talking back to the spirit above when you pray in the Holy Ghost. So you don't have to understand. You don't have to know. It's the spirit. It says, because he maketh intercessions for the what? He made an intercession for the what?
Saints.
Now, how many of you are saints? Let's give God a wave off. Well, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God is going to God for your needs.
That's right.
Nobody else can do that but God.
Yes.
Nobody else can make a way for you but God.
Right.
So why do we keep drifting away from Him? Why are we so far apart from Him? Go down to verse, I think it's 35. Go down to verse 35. It reads, who shall? What shall? What's happening in your life? What's going on? What's the test? What's the trial that is separating you from the love of Christ? What trial has the devil sent your way that's causing you to separate yourself from God? And then Paul said, you know what, I'm not going to leave it up to your imagination. He said, I'm about to cover everything that you can go through right now. And I'm going to eliminate every excuse you have. He said, shall, you know, can y'all read with me? I know y'all say, you say, we be ready to go home now, but we're going to read this together. You know why? Because we need to get some victory. Amen. In the Bible says we overcome by the words. Amen. You don't say enough in church. That's why you can't overcome. I'm shy. You overcome by the words. So I need you to help me with the word. Amen. As we stand, I'm saying we're going to read this together. Now, I heard all my young people, they were shouting out. Come on, you need some victory. You need God to do something in your life. You need to shout it out. Amen. He says, shall
or
as it was written, Jesus said, for thy sake we are killed. For thy sake we are killed. We are counted as sheep on the slaughter. Next verse. He says, yes. presupposing. He said, but I am persuaded. Hallelujah. We got to know by persuasion. He said, let the Lord be. I'm persuaded. Not by another. Listen, you want victory? You got to say it. I'm persuaded that neither. Sing it like